God is doing wonderful things. There's a presence here this morning that each and every one of you brought with you that is very good. And I say that because in the atmosphere, when I sit up there, I do it to clear my thoughts, to clear my head and get before God and ask Him what it is that He has for you. But while I'm up there, I can sense what's going on down here. And I feel the presence of God. There's a hunger for God. There's a wanting. There's a desire in the house this morning. And I'm not saying it's not there other mornings, but today's going to be a special morning for many of you. Who's here believing to receive something from God? Just lift your hand. I just want to see who's going to get something today. All right, that's good. That's good. Look, yeah, amen. Because faith grabs a hold of the promises of God. And there's promises we're going to talk about today. And I've been asking the Lord to show and guide me on how to present this today because I'm receiving revelation to it as I'm preparing, as I'm writing it, as I'm studying it. And when it bubbles in you, you want to just release everything that's going on the inside of you. But the Lord's like, no, I have something for the people. And I'm asking the Lord that for Him to convey it through me in a way that you can receive it. And it will bring great blessing to you. Amen? Amen. Well, before we get into the message, I want to give you an opportunity to give this morning. And we do this, we give opportunity to sow because we want a harvest in your life. Amen? And the opportunity for the offering, it doesn't matter how long it is or how short it is. It's to remind us that we have opportunity to be a part of a kingdom that's greater than ourselves. And we have an opportunity to sow. And this is the word the Lord gave me. That you can sow into and be a part of a supernatural bank of miracles. That's what He shared with me this morning. That when you give to the Lord, you're giving and depositing into a bank of miracles. And as I was meditating on that, I was like, why would I want to invest in anything but that? Why would I want to invest in anything besides a place that produces miracles and goes beyond what the natural realm can go? And in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moss or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I think to myself, a supernatural bank of miracles, there's two parts to that. The enemy cannot touch it or limit it or affect it. And God has the ability to multiply it and bring increase. So when you invest in the kingdom of God, it eliminates the power of the enemy, but it also allows the power of God to fulfill and bring forth His good pleasure and His good deed in your life. So the person that invests in something is the one that reaps the return from it. So when you invest in the bank of miracles, guess what? You should expect a return on your investment of miracles. Amen. When the loaves and the fishes were invested and put in God's hands, the miracle of God allowed it to feed 5,000. That's what takes place in the bank of miracles. And you say, where did you? I got it from the Spirit of God. You're not going to find a verse in Scripture that says bank of miracles, but you will find a scripture, the whole Bible, that is written about miracles and what God does. And every person that invested in God had miracles that followed them. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. Miracles follow. There is a demonstration that follows the word of God. So if there's not a demonstration, we need to ask ourselves, is it the word of God? Amen. So when we invest in something, we have to do it the way God intends us to do it to get the rate of return on the investment. Amen? You got to invest it properly. You got to go through the right channels. And that's by faith in Him. Amen? That's how you invest. You invest in the kingdom by releasing of yourselves and trusting God as you sow that seed into miracle working power. So if you're believing for great things, what do you invest in? Invest in the one that can bring the greatest beyond what you can ask or think. See, some of you are thinking too small. You're investing in natural ways to try to get natural increase. But you, when you invest in spiritual ways, you get spiritual increase. Last time I checked, when God touches something, it does a lot better than what I can do with my own bare hands. Amen. There's many things that I touch that actually go the wrong way. Amen. So I know I need God, and I need to invest in God. Hallelujah. I'm realizing every time I do a message about finances, it's tied to the kingdom of God and how he operates across the whole, his whole plan and his whole purpose and will. You understand what I mean? So when it deals with the heart, when you deal with faith, when you deal with finances, when you deal with joy, when you deal with the kingdom of God, everything operates on the same playing field. So if you can get victory in one area, you can get victory in your finances. If you can get victory in your finances, you can get victory over sin. If you get victory over sin, you can get victory over sickness. You understand what? They work the same way. So if you have victory in one area in your life, amen, you're saved and born again. Guess what? There's nothing the enemy can do to stop you from getting victory in every other area of your life. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. There's money coming your way. Why? Because you're grabbing a hold of, hey, I got saved. I can get wealth. Amen. And I'm not saying you're doing it for the purpose of gaining wealth. You're doing it for the purpose to glorify him. Amen. Every increase God gives you is to give back to him. Every time. Every time. He wants you healed so you can do his work. He wants you free from sin so you can help get other people free from sin. He wants you to soul win so you can help deliver other people that are bound up and brokenhearted. You understand? Yeah. God blesses you so you can bless other people. It's never just about you. So when you sow this morning, it's really not about you. But he's got to start in and through you, in you, to be able to work through you. Amen. But if he can't work in you, he cannot work through you. Amen. If a funnel is plugged, it ain't going through. I can't get any easier than that. Pipe, whatever you want it. If water comes in one way and doesn't go out the other way, something in the middle is plugging it. He has to be able to work through you, in you, to work through you. Amen? And he does in this church. There is a flow in this church. Amen. There is a flow here where things funnel from heaven right down through the body and right out into the community. There's a flow here. Amen. And you're a part of it, each and every one of you. And through your finances, there's a flow there that's going to cause great increase in this area. Business opportunities, amen, for some of you. Some of you have a desire to have your own business. God's going to see that to pass. He's going to see it to pass. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? Am I speaking to people of faith? Amen. Amen. Well, let's exercise our faith by giving. Come on, ushers. Go ahead and serve the people. Hallelujah. The bank of miracles. A banking system that only brings increase. You cannot sow into God's kingdom and get a decrease. You can't. It's impossible for decrease to come when you sow into the kingdom of God. Impossible. Impossible. Some of you struggle with that. It's impossible to sow into God. It's impossible to give your heart to Jesus and have lack. There is peace, joy in the Holy Ghost that floods your soul. Amen. Amen. I'm dealing with some things here already this morning. This is so much fun. I'm kicking the devil right in the head, and this is wonderful. Religious spirits that just get mad when you talk about money. I'm telling you, if money gets you upset, the enemy's got a hook in you. And when you release of that thing, you're going to see great miracles from God. Just like the rich young ruler, he had the opportunity, but that hook was still there. And Jesus gave, he did everything, but that one hook was there, and he could not release it. And he missed out on everything God had for him because of that one thing. People wonder why we talk about money, because it's a big hook in people's lives. It's a big hook. I know this is exciting, but I'm trying to get you free. Amen. By the Holy Ghost, I'm trying to, it's not in my power, but preaching brings breakthrough. Preaching allows your faith to attach to it. Some of you maybe say, well, I got a little hook. Oh, I got a treble hook. I got a couple things going on. You got a release of that thing. You got a release of that thing. Don't let money have you. Money is a tool. Don't let money be your tool. I mean, let me say that right. Don't let money control you and use you and move you. You move and money has to follow. You understand what I'm saying? It's the opposite of what man thinks. This is good stuff. Praise God. Amen. Let's believe God for breakthrough. Amen. Breakthrough is right here. Breakthrough. This is filled with faith. I'm not looking at the money amount. I could care less about the money amount. I want to see baskets full of faith. Because that's where God moves. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this offering this morning. Those giving online that you're speaking to release. Hallelujah. I say hooks are releasing out of people's lives right now by faith. They're saying, my God, I'm believing beyond my ability, beyond my flesh, beyond my own giftings. Hallelujah. And I'm trusting in you right now by faith. As I sowed here this morning, my faith is released in what I sowed in the bank of miracles, believing God. Hallelujah. I'm setting my heart afresh to you, Lord God, for you to move any way you see fit in my life. If I need to change things, I need to change things. If I need to release things, I release those things. If I need to speak life into areas, I need to do that. If I need to step a different way than the way I've been stepping, Father, I thank you that you show me by your Spirit right now what I need to do for the breakthrough to be poured out, for the miracle to come forth, Father God. I thank you that it starts by faith, and I release it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's a good day today. Hallelujah. Man, breaking out and breaking through. Whew. Today I want to talk to you. Getting all excited here. Your mouth can get dry even if you don't spit, right? Amen. Anyway, sorry. Sometimes I have my own moments up here and I probably shouldn't say them. So forgive me at times when things kind of come because I'm having my own thoughts up here. So, back to the anointing. Amen. Hearing the voice of God is what we're talking about. And, you know, with what's going on in our country, and Pastor Lacey touched on it, this kind of stuff can make you very angry. It can frustrate you. It can make your flesh become irritated. And, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So there's a level in our spirit as believers that we need to adhere to our spirit and be led by it and not by our flesh. Because our flesh wants to join into the fiasco and the manifestation of what's taking place. But the heart of a believer has to settle in to what the Spirit of the Lord's saying and know the truth of the matter and not be moved by the chaos of the matter. What I mean is, be rooted in Him and not let the fruit of what's going on affect your fruit. Do not produce what you're seeing. Okay? I want to encourage you in this because this does irritate you. I that's not a prophetic word. It irritates me. There's no reason why this should be happening. But the times we're living in, the lawlessness, the selfishness, all these things that are acts of the flesh, the pride of life, all these desires, and then people take sides and there's infighting, even within the church, over these issues. It ought not be. Why? Because if we're led by the Spirit, we're led in love, but love is not a doormat either that just says, do whatever you want. I hope let God's will be done, and you just leave it alone. No, the church should be pressing in prayer. Believe in God. Pull out the roots of bitterness. Reveal the lies of the enemy. See, when you fight against people, you're missing the one that's bringing the accusation. You're missing the root of what's producing everything. When you fight with people, it's because there's a spirit underneath that is driving that battle. And the church should not be fighting up here. The church should be fighting on their knees and on their face. Amen. Uprooting the strongholds and the bitterness that are in people's lives. Amen. Soul winning, sharing the gospel. Hallelujah. There shouldn't be preaching this morning on whether you're red or blue. No. It's not about what's going on around us. It's about what He did for us. And if we can see that and hear it with our spiritual ears and know in our hearts, this is where the battle. I don't war against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. See, this has to get on the inside of you, because if it's not in you, your flesh will react. Guaranteed. Not just in this situation, but with your spouse, with your kids, with your boss and every other one. You get mad at people because deep down on the inside, you're not able to handle your vessel because your vessel is running rampant because you're focused on the wrong thing. Okay, I'm glad we got that straight. Praise God. Hearing the voice of God. See, if I don't deal with this and talk about this, I'm not pastoring. Hear me. If you come to church and the church can't deal with natural matters, what is the church doing? Come on. You hear me? Are you hearing? Am I loud enough? Am I loud enough? Okay. No. Am I speaking to your spirit? You got to see it with the eyes of your spirit. Amen. Breakthrough comes on the inside before it manifests on the outside. Amen. Your love, you got to be motivated by love on the inside, because the outside is not going to give you the opportunity to love. It's going to give you the opportunity to hate, because that's how the enemy operates. He's an accuser of the brethren. All right. The Lord has a message for you today. That's not it, but I want to encourage you in this. If you're dealing with this and you need counsel concerning what's taking place, amen, I'll pray with you. Because you should not be at a place where it's controlling you. Do not let out there dictate who you are. You, through the power of the Holy Spirit, stand in the place God has for you, and you are the light of the world. Don't let the darkness control your light. You control the darkness by being light. Amen. Light expels darkness. When you know these truths, yes, your emotions will get caught up, but don't get caught by it. Don't get hooked by it. Don't let these things dictate your daily living, because your days will be rough when your focus is on the negative. Yes. And it's up to you to focus on the positive. Amen. Hearing the voice of God. Here we go. I'm getting back to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So hearing the voice of God, this I talked about hearing, like God gives us ears to hear last week. This week's on your conscience. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has a word for you today. He has a word for you today. And it's a spiritual word, but it's also very natural in your ability to understand it. What I mean is, the Holy Spirit's going to relate to you in such a way, the light bulbs are going to go off today. You're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't realize it. That's what I deal with. Watch this. Your conscience is a powerful thing, but it must be checked. It must be looked at. It must be adhered to. What do I mean by that? See, God is always speaking to us. Always. This morning, God is speaking. Wait a second. God is speaking again. God doesn't stop speaking. And why is He speaking to His church? Why does God speak to His people? Number one, to get you out of problems. And number two, to keep you from problems. So God is always speaking to better you. He's always speaking to keep you away and protect you from the things of this world and sin. Every time. God sent His Son. God so loved the world that He sent His Son. He sent His Son to deliver you. God is in the delivering business. So when God's speaking, it's always, remember this, it's always to deliver you out of something. to better you in an area. And you say, well, what about conviction? Conviction is to better you. It's to show you a better way. So when we hear God's voice, you must realize it's always to better you. God is never speaking condemnation and judgment against you. He's to better you. We live in a covenant of grace. God is to better you. You have to get that on the inside. Because if your conscience doesn't see it like that, you're not sure if God's coming at you in a good day or a bad day. Come on. Right? Nobody's ever dealt with that where they think God is against them. God is never against you, and I'm going to show you why. What I'm going to say is your conscience can be against you, and God's for you, but you have them mixed up. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. A lot of people deal with this. Their conscience can become seared or become hard or become dead. And then they struggle with the intuition on the inside that they think they're hearing from God, but it's really their conscience in themselves not feeling good enough or not feeling able enough. I'm telling you, this will break you out and break you forth into victory when you can understand your conscience. And I'm believing you're going to get it today because it's going to bring you closer to Him. Amen. I want to talk to you about your conscience. Your conscience discerns right and wrong. It is your sense of right and wrong. So if your conscience is off, you're looking at things the wrong way. Everything's wrong. If your conscience is seared or hard towards somebody, it doesn't matter what they say. You're going to look at it the wrong way. Nobody's ever done that either. I understand, you perfect saints, you. Come on. Let's be real about things. Because we all shout and praise God, and we know God's good, and we read His Word, and it's, yeah, I know God can do it. I know God can do it. But He can't do it for me. That's where the problem lies. Your conscience doesn't think you're good enough for what God's Word says. And that's why you struggle hearing from God. Because your conscience is filtering God's Word differently than what God's Word is meaning. Come on, I know this is deep, but it deals with the everyday life of how we process things. If our conscience is seared, we're going to process things differently from God's Word. Yeah. See, this is deeper than just surface feelings. This is your intuition on the inside. It can be seared. Your conscience can be seared. Scripture proves it, and I'll get to it. But discernment is important. Because if you don't discern, you don't know if it's God talking to you, you don't know if it's a devil talking to you, and you don't even know if it's you speaking to yourself. Because you don't have discernment on what the source is. So if you can't see God as a good God and a loving God, when you see Him that way, every voice that's not good and loving, you can instantly discern, that's not God. That's a lie of the enemy. Or that's a thought pattern that I've had. Or that's words people have spoken over me. You understand what I'm saying? But if you think God is a judgmental God, you put God in the box with the devil, and then you can't even hear anything but negativity. People walk around, God's going to strike me dead. God is not striking anybody dead. We live in a covenant of grace. We live God, long and prosperous. We shall live. Amen. God is a good God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's the Bible. But if we've been taught that God, every time you mess up, God's getting ready to strike you, you walk around like this. Don't, come on. Even believers, you can have a seared conscience as a believer. You say, well, I thought my heart was made new. Oh, it is made new. But your intuition, your sensor is not cleaned up. Amen. The way you filter your new creative self is not being able to receive it properly. Your receptor on the inside is a little funny. You got to get it tuned in. Is this speaking to anybody? Amen. It should be. If it's not speaking, you're living in the flesh all the time. This is a deeper thing on the inside that we have to come to the realization of, that we have a conscience. Even the world has a conscience. Gentiles have a conscience, and I'm going to get to it in Romans 2, verse 12, I'm going to start in. But I want you to see something here. Conscience is a sense of right and wrong. Non-believers have a sense of right and wrong. Some of their sensing of right and wrong is better than some in the church. Well, how does that happen? Exactly what I'm talking about. You can have some bad thinking, some bad processing that has messed you up, believed lies in an area. Guess what? As a believer that has hardened your conscience to be able to see what's right and wrong. And I'm going to go over a non-believer and I'm going to go over a believer so you can see what God is talking about concerning your conscience. Romans 2, 12 through 16. Lord, help me get this out. Hallelujah. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. Verse 13. For merely listening to the law does not make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in His sight. Get a hold of that. Faith comes by hearing. That's great. And hearing by the word of God. That second word, hearing, can be defined as understanding. So faith comes by hearing and understanding by the word of God. It's more than just listening. You have to obey. That's where your conscience starts operating in. The obedience. You're going to see how your love walk and how you operate out of love affects your conscience. We'll get into that a little bit later. There is so much here. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to each of you what you have need of. In Jesus' name. Verse 14, even Gentiles. Gentiles are ones that didn't follow the law, didn't follow God. Okay? The unchurched. Gentiles, Greeks, who do not have God's written law, show that they know His law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. How in the world can you obey something instinctively when you've never even heard it? Because God placed it in you ahead of time. Every person has a conscience, church, unchurched, everybody. And it's interesting because you could line up 100 people here and everybody would have an intuition or a conscience on how far to go into something or morally, how much. Everybody has a breaking point with their conscience. Even the unbeliever has a break. I'll go this far, but I'm not doing that. You ever, before you knew Jesus, go out with your friends and a friend, crazy friend wanted to do something crazy, and you're like, I'm not doing that. You weren't even born again, but you had a conscience to say, you know what? I'm not doing that. That's in there. God has placed a conscience in you. The key as a believer is allowing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to build your conscience and your intuition to be able to discern right and wrong spiritually at the same time. Not just physically, but spiritually. Get that truth. That's what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God do. It helps your conscience see right and wrong. So when you're a believer led by the Holy Ghost, you'll have discernment spiritually even before anything natural looks like anything. And guess what? As a believer, God will reveal things to you, amen, not only morally, but also spiritually, people's motives. You'll see that and discern that in your conscience. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God here. When your conscience is open to God's Spirit, you'll know people's motives. Jesus knew their thoughts before they spoke. Come on. The Bible says, you shall know all things. The Holy Spirit knows all things. And He's been given to us. But our conscience has to be in line with the Holy Spirit. We have to be able to open our conscience up to allow the Holy Spirit to operate through that. And that's for the believer. The world can't do that. The world can't even understand the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John, cannot receive it. It neither knew Him. Okay? So, but as a believer, our conscience can be adjusted and flow with the Holy Spirit. God created us to operate by His Spirit. So the more you submit your conscience, the more your intuition falls in line with God's Word and His kingdom, the more sensitive you become to things. And the more you can hear His voice. And the more you can understand a stranger's voice. You can understand demonic activity. You can discern spiritual things. And when you discern spiritual things, man, there's a protective nature about you where you're like, I don't need to be around that person. I don't even need to go to that event. That is not of God. The Lord's saying, go here. And you live your life walking. This is where the Lord has me going. You're not, with your conscience is where people get wacky. It's not the Holy Spirit that's wacky going like this. The world's over here going like this. And your conscience is in the middle trying to discern. And if someday you're over here, it's like this. Then you ever, oh man, things are steady on Sunday. Well, you're underneath the Word. You're underneath the presence of God. And your conscience comes alive to the things of the Spirit of God. But you'll realize as a believer, you can step out of that place and get over into a place where it's not steady and it's not pure and it's not holy. Come on. I'm speaking better than you're shouting. I know I'm dealing with something that every single person deals with, but they just don't, they have lack of understanding on how to get a hold of it. And that's my job. Amen. God has called me to bring understanding to these things, to break the Word of God down to a place that you can chew on it. Amen. Get your chompers out. Amen. Amen. Be hungry. Verse 14, the Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know His law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. Verse 15, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience, and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. So guess what? Your conscience will either accuse you or excuse you. What do I mean by that? See, you can hear the Word of God and you can take it as accusing you or excusing you based off of your conscience. So when a pastor speaks to you in love and brings correction, you can either feel accused or you can feel excused. What do I mean by that? It's just like in a courtroom. That's what these words mean. Accuse means to charge with an offense. Excuse means to defend or forgive. So your conscience literally has the ability, based off of where it is set, how you perceive things, whether you feel like you're condemned all the time, you're judged all the time. All right, hear me? Have you ever talked to someone? A fellow believer, no matter what they say, in love they're talking to you, and you feel like you're condemned. You receive it as condemnation. You receive it as judgment. That's your conscience. That's your conscience receiving a good word. See, when people come here, out of love I'm ministering. I love to minister. I love people. But if their conscience is seared towards the church, and they come in and they hear the Word of God, and something is said differently than what their conscience is able to receive, offense comes in. Come on. I'm dealing with things that people don't like talking about. But the living reality is all of us have a conscience where we will receive, we will feel excused, or we will feel accused. And when the enemy and lies are being portrayed, you have to know in your heart and in your conscience the truth of God's Word, because when the accuser comes of the brethren in Revelation 12, the enemy comes and lies to you, you have to know in your conscience where you stand, because you'll stand excused or you'll stand accused. If a liar is lying, there's no way you're accused because he's the liar. If a liar is lying and he's speaking it, but you feel accused, you take that as truth, even though it's a lie. And you live based off of a lie, thinking it's truth, and that's where you get messed up. Because you're believing from the accuser, you're listening to the lie instead of the truth of God's Word. This is the battle that people face on a daily basis, maybe a moment-to-moment basis. Some deal with it early in the morning. They wake up and they struggle with things. Then they talk to the Lord and they finally get to a place. Or they get up, things are good, then something happens. And then all of a sudden, they feel accusatory. They feel like something's against them. Do you understand what I'm saying? We all deal with this. But it doesn't change God. And God has come to give you life and life more abundant. The enemy is a thief. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you can discern those two different things, anything that's coming to steal, kill, and destroy you, you have to realize it's from the accuser. And it's a lie. And do not take the bait. That'd be like being falsely accused, you having to go to court to try to defend yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. The blood of Jesus already did it. That's why you plead the blood of Jesus. I'm going to try to go over this. This may be a 15-part sermon. But you got to realize something here. I'm trying to help you and myself get the victory and understand God's word and how he created us to be. And when we understand the truth of God's word, we walk in victory. So every area you feel like you're struggling in, you're probably believing a lie. Like, I can't do this. I'm not good enough for this. I don't know. I can't be a preacher. I had a conscience. My conscience was that I wasn't good enough. So every time I heard about going to Bible school, preaching in front of people, talking in front of people, I filtered it through my conscience of not being good enough. And it held me back from pressing into what God has. I'm done with that garbage. That is a total lie. I'm going to go to the nations. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach from the mountaintop. I'm not stopping because I got the victory and I know the truth. Jesus has called me to places that I think I can't do, but he already has me there. By faith, I see myself there. You have to see yourself in places greater than where you are right now in the physical. If you cannot see yourself there, it's your conscience holding you back. Oh, I know God will heal me, but I don't know if he'll me. I know God heals, but I don't know if he can heal me. Right? Yeah. I know God heals marriages, but mine, I don't know. That's your conscience lying to you. You're believing a lie. Here we go. Amen. Verse 15, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their heart for their own conscience and soul, either accuse them. So your conscience is going to do one of two things. It's either going to accuse you or excuse you. You make the call there. Each person has their own conscience. It's either going to charge, blame, or arrest you, or it's going to approve you, defend you, and pardon you. So when faith comes and we hear God's word about who we are in Christ and we get our identity and we apply the blood of Jesus, we're excused from everything of this world, from every sin. But if you hold on to a sin, you feel accused. If you don't allow the blood to wash you clean in an area, your conscience will bring that back to you that you're not good enough in that area. Like you did this constantly in a marriage and now you're divorced and you blame yourself the rest of your life. God doesn't want you in that place. God doesn't want you in that place of accusing you the whole time. God didn't accuse you to begin with. Let me finish out of the New Living Translation, verse 16. And this is a message I proclaim. This is Paul speaking. This is what he's proclaiming. This is what he's ministering. That the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. So your conscience, people can't see your conscience. It's deeper than the outward showing. But God can see it all. And that's why the Holy Spirit comes to help you. Oh, let's go there. Let's go there. Jesus. John 16. Verse 8, we're going to come back, but John 16, 8. This is probably not on the computer, CJ. John 16, let's do 8 and 9. I want you to see something here. This is going to illuminate things in your life. You're going to start seeing yourself different. You're going to see God different. And you're going to start walking in places you haven't walked before. Because your conscience was messing with you. and you're believing things that weren't who you really are. John 16, let's start in verse 8. This is talking about the working of the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Who is he they're talking about? The Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of sin. So he's convicting, the Holy Spirit, the world. It doesn't say sins, plural. It says sin. You got to understand what he's saying here. The Holy Spirit has come to convict, to show the world, to reveal to the world that they need a Savior. That's the sin it's talking about. The world's only sin is that they do not know Jesus. So stop going around telling people all their sins and all their mess ups. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He's coming to convict the world that they do not know the Lord. And they need to find Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Watch this now. He has come to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. Let me stop there. And of righteousness. I've even said this, and I stand corrected. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to convict you of unrighteousness. He convicts you of righteousness. That is a total different teaching than the lot that's going forth. Everybody says the Holy Spirit's coming to convict you of your sins. He's going around to tell you what you're doing wrong and that you need to repent. No. He came to show you righteousness. He came to reveal to you the goodness of God, the love of God. Not to tell you and beat you over the head. The Holy Spirit's not coming around beating people up. It's your conscience beating you up. But once your conscience says, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me, all of a sudden, righteousness comes. Right standing with God. Do you know there's two? I'm going after it today. I'm telling you right now. There's two types of righteousness. There's self-righteousness and there's godly righteousness. And if you're living in self-righteousness, your conscience is always against you that you're not good enough. That's religion. You're constantly looking at what you can do better to get God's good graces. That's self-righteousness. That's not God. The Holy Spirit come to reveal righteousness, his goodness, his love for you. So when the Holy Spirit comes to convict you, he's not telling you all you're doing wrong. He's telling you all that's available to you. Hear this. It'll change your stinking thinking. It changed mine. Trying to be good enough for God. Trying to do enough for God. That's self-righteousness. That's not allowing the kingdom of God to flood your soul and your spirit. When you allow and receive all that God has, he is a righteous God and he's given you every good thing. So when you, if you're hearing voices about what you're not doing and how bad you are, it is not the Holy Ghost. He's telling you about what's available to you and how good things are. Come and follow me. Let me lead you into the paths of righteousness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I know this is bucking people's theology because I've even said it myself. And I read that and I heard that and I'm like, oh God, I'm sorry for criticizing and using the name of the Holy Spirit in the wrong way. And I'm a minister. This is... It broke me because I'm guiding people, telling them that the Holy Spirit's coming to convict you of your sins. He doesn't. The only sin is that you do not know the Lord, because if the Holy Spirit knows that you know Jesus, you're on the right path. You're on the right path. And he's guiding you to know, be more like Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's to lead you into the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the blessing of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is convicting you of. He's revealing God's blessing to you. But if we're looking at the Holy Spirit as judging us, that messes with our conscience and our theology and our thought pattern. And we think God's against us. God is only for us. He is not against us. He didn't create us to come judge us. He came to judge the world of sin. He came to, and it goes on. Of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is coming to reveal that he's coming to judge the accuser, Satan. He's not coming to judge you. He's revealing, the Holy Spirit is revealing what he's coming to judge. The author of sin. And when you know that and you read it in Revelation, you know that the enemy is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Amen. And it brings freedom to know that you're not the one being judged. He's coming to judge the one that plants sin in people's lives. The author of sin and death. Let me get back on hearing the voice of God. But I want you to see something here. We're looking at things partially. Half truth. And I want you to be able to hear God's voice. And I want to hear God's voice. But if we're operating not according to God's word, can you see how this can mess you up? If you're believing that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of every time you take a wrong step and you feel bad, that's the Holy Spirit making you feel bad? Anybody ever been like that besides me? Oh, well, you guys are doing great. Maybe it's just me. I'm preaching to myself. If we see God as being against us, what does the Bible say? If God be for us, who can be against us? The enemy is against you. God is for you. Amen. And we need to get our conscience, the inside of us, to be on the path of God instead of on the path of the lie of the enemy and the accuser. That God is not accusing you of anything. He came to deliver you from the accuser. Hallelujah. So your conscience speaks to you even before you're born again. And God speaks to your conscience. Amen. Some people call it an intuition. Some people call it a gut feeling. Well, it's on the inside of you. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He's warning about what's coming. He's warning Timothy, but he's also sharing with the church what's coming. And the Holy Spirit is definitely involved with the end times. Watch this. This is New King James Version, verse 1, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, are we living in latter times? Is the Spirit available in latter times? Oh, yes. So the Holy Spirit hasn't dried up, hasn't forgotten about the church, okay? Expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Do you know what the New Living Translation says? That your conscience is dead when you do what? What's the primary thing this scripture said in verse 1? Depart from the faith. That's a decision that people make. They believe a lie, and to depart is to turn and go the other way. They departed from the Word of God, the truth of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. They made a decision to turn, and once you make a decision to turn from God, your conscience becomes hard. You can't make good decisions when you depart from God. When people get mad at God or the church and they leave, bad things happen. And I'm not confessing that. The Word already says it. Because their conscience becomes seared like a hot iron. Do you know what a hot iron does? It cauterizes. This just came to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When a hot iron cauterizes, what do you cauterize? You're cauterizing, sorry for the graphic, but it's what I know. I preach out of what I know. With calves, when you dehorn a calf, you put a hot iron in it, and it literally kills the nerves and the growth plate of the horns of the calf. But it also cauterizes anything. Like if you cut and there's blood flow, when you cauterize it, you stop the blood flow. Guess what a seared conscience does? Stops the blood flow of heaven. Stops the work of the blood of Jesus in your life. When you cauterize your conscience. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart to say that, but that's what happens. Man, when the blood of God is flowing and you're washed as clean, your joy is there, your peace is there, you're walking in the things of God. But when you make a decision to get mad and depart from the faith, turn from God, your conscience becomes seared, becomes dead. Your sensitivity becomes hardened. And that's what happens. See, same thing in marriage. People get mad in a marriage and they turn and they run from a marriage. Guess what? Their conscience gets seared because God ordained marriage. So you're departing from the faith, running from marriage. I'm telling you, this it's the truth. Anytime you rebel against what God's word says and you make a decision to turn from it, no matter what it is, your heart becomes hard. But when you press into God, guess what? There's a flow that comes. There's a purity that comes. You hear the voice of God. You do not hear God's voice when you depart from the faith. If I left this building and ran, which isn't going to happen anyway, ran down the road, I'm departing from what's being... I can't hear what's going on here because I departed. It's hard to hear God's voice when you're departing from the one that's speaking. That's what your conscience does. It becomes hard, insensitive to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. That's what departing the faith does. So you can study out what that's turning away from the faith. That, and it says giving heed. That word giving heed means pay attention. It means availing themselves. So when you give heed to something, you start paying attention to something else besides the faith. So when you depart from the faith, what you're turning to is availing yourself to the world, to demons, to demonic activity, to darkness, to sickness. I've seen people pull away from God and sickness come on their life. I didn't confess it. I wasn't believing for it. But I know when you depart from God and you pull away from God, you open yourself up to every evil work. And you start listening to things. You stop listening to Christian worship music. You start listening to something else. You stop fellowshipping with people. Guess what else you do? You stop giving. Oh, yeah. Where your treasure is where your heart is. People that are on fire for God are givers. Yeah. I said it. Shoot me. Throw tomatoes. Get mad at me. It's the word of God. When you press into God, you're believing everything is your source is God. You just get right under the spout where the glory comes out. And you open your heart to Him. You give everything to Him. He is your everything. All your finances, all your material things, your marriage, your kids, everything. My son's going to Bible school. It's hard on us. It is. I won't share that stuff. I'm not a feeling guy. But it's hard. But I know that's God's will. So I'm at peace with it. Even though my flesh doesn't... God, I don't even do this at home, dear. Why in the world am I doing it in front of people? It's hard. Love you, son. God, I got to get away from this. It's messing me up. So, you give heed. You pay attention to other voices besides God's voice when you depart from the faith. Realize something. Nobody departs from the faith. People blame it on other people. It's a decision you make yourself. You may think it's from other people. You may blame the pastor. I've been blamed before. I've been blamed many a times for people's decisions they make. Well, the pastor preached this, or he said this. Well, if your conscience isn't in the right place, you're going to receive it wrong, and you're going to get offended. Don't be offended at me. Be offended at God. No, don't be offended at God either. Get your heart right. Be able to receive. Amen. If your heart is hard, it's hard for God to speak into it. Just like the ground. We've had a drought. It's hard for the rain to penetrate the ground when it's parched and it's hard. But allow the Holy Spirit to just rest on you. Meditate on God's word and just allow it to start softening you. Stop basing New Freedom Church off of some past church that hurt you. Amen. We love you. And I know you guys, you love me too. I'm not up here crying a river or anything. Amen. I know you love me. I love you too. But don't base past experiences. Don't get mad at God because some minister did you wrong. or slept with the secretary or did something stupid. That's their problem. They got to answer for that. It's your problem when you take it on and you start heeding other voices. You start looking at God based off of a man's mess up. Oh, that man's called of God and he did this. That's your problem. You're focused on the wrong thing. You're feeding on the wrong source. You're trying to feed off of a man of God or a woman of God when you need to be feeding from God. Amen. It's a problem with the food today. You get fed from all other anyway, I'm not talking about, I was actually going to talk about that today. Anyway, you're feeding yourself with junk. Stop thinking on the news. Stop focused on that. I understand we got to pray for it. It's tragic what happened. But don't let that be your life source. You pray into that based off of your life source in God. You operate out of your relationship with God into the realm of the natural. Don't let the natural affect your relationship with God. Seek first God's kingdom, and everything else will be added unto you. Stop worrying about what's going on around you. Focus on your relationship with God. That's what you should be concerned about. Amen. If your conscience is pure, you should be concerned about your fellowship with your Father. If you're struggling with your fellowship with your Father, it's because your focus or your heart has become hard and you're focused on something contrary to what God is doing. I'm just preaching better than you're shouting. I know this isn't a jump, roll on the floor, happy message. Oh, glory to God. No, but I'm telling you, this will give you breakthrough where you can live a victorious life your whole life here on earth when you gain this truth. Amen. Everybody wants a shot of God's goodness. But they don't want the steadiness of God where they can walk in His goodness every day. That's what we preach here. Amen. I'm not giving you some steroid to get you to run a race for a day. Amen. I'm getting you the broccoli and the cabbage and the kale so you can live a life pleasing to God every day. Amen. So you're strong every day when the enemy's speaking to you at night and you can shut them voices down. You don't have to call the pastor at midnight and say, man, I need your help. The help is right there. You're already hooked up to Him. God's line is open. Amen. And He's speaking, just like I was saying earlier. God's speaking. Are you listening? Or is your phone unplugged on your end? That may be too old for some of you. Amen. Are there enough bars on your phone? Let me put it that way. Amen. For me, it was your phone flipped open or not? That's past due now. Amen. Amen. God loves you so much. Do you know He loves you? That's what you got to be hooked to. The love of God. I'm never getting this message done. I'm getting the exact message you need. Amen. The exact one you need. So giving heed, I'm still there. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I've seen it time and time again. Where people will depart or get upset about something and the door swings wide open for the works of the enemy. And guess what happens? When you get in that place, you like to hang out with other hard-hearted people. Other offended people. Oh man, they offended me. Let's go gossip about it. We're all offended together. Yeah, let's have a party of offense. And guess what you get? You become harder and harder. And then you get the church of offense. Because they all group together and want to start their own thing. Jesus. Amen. Under no authority, doing their own thing. Anyway. They're not even under this authority. How are they going to be under any other authority? Amen. When you get a hard heart, it's a bad place to be. If you're offended at somebody, I encourage you quickly repent and get it right. Whether they do or not. Whether they change one lick or not, that's between them and God. It's between you and God. Amen. I love preaching these messages. It's great being able to minister without getting the negative back. This is a lot better than counsel. I'd rather counsel from this place than one-on-one counseling. Amen. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. Get the truth on the inside of you. You don't need counsel. The counselor lives in you. Amen. You get the power of God on you and the fire of God on you, you will have a lot less counseling sessions. You'll walk in the joy of the Lord all the days of your life. You'll know you're loved. You won't have to wait to hear love from somebody else. You heard it from heaven. You got a download from heaven. I'm the beloved of the Lord. Amen. I'm His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm doing a good work. If five people say I'm not, those are five people I'm not listening to. But if there's people that I respect that say, hey, you're off, I'm going to listen to them. Amen. But that's a pure conscience. A pure conscience will take constructive criticism. But if somebody's just spouting off criticism all the time, I don't have time for you. And I encourage you, don't have time. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Amen. If people are constantly criticizing something or this church, stop hanging around them. You're getting two different voices in your head, and then you're going to get a hard heart, and then you're going to fall in with the whole group. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting, man. You can get everything you need from straight up. Straight up. I'm going to make a shirt. Straight up, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Straight up, Holy Spirit on the back. Straight up, Jesus on the front. I'm full. No room for anything else. God's given me all I have need of. Amen. My conscience is pure before you, Lord. So I have to go to verse 2 because I can't seem to get through verse 1. Amen. I'm not getting into what are deceiving spirits and what are doctrines of demons. We'll study that another time. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Amen. I talked about that already. When you sear something, it's like a scar. You lose your nerve endings. You don't feel. All right? But if you ever had a scar, you don't have feeling there because it's been seared. It's the nerve endings have been deadened. All right? You do not want a dead conscience. We want a live, living conscience that's not hard. Amen. Here we go. Verse 4, verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. That's why you pray over your food, praise God. Even if the world and society wants to put everything in it, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat and I'm going to bless it. All right, I don't get caught. Anyway, I'm not going to preach about this, but I'm telling you, when you get a hard heart, you focus on things that need not be focused on. Amen. Bless your food. If you can drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt you, that means you can eat whatever you need to in the time. Bless it. God will sanctify it. Let the bad stuff flow through you out the other end, and you get what you need. Amen. That's a simple message. Amen. Don't be so concerned, focused on a vegetable or a fruit. Everything has been tampered with. Bless everything. Even if it's a good high-end restaurant, bless it. Even if it's McDonald's, bless a double. Amen. Love you, McDonald's. Bless your food. People say, I don't need to do that. The things they make today, I'm blessing that bad boy. Amen. Amen. Even the water. There's stuff in the water. Bless it. Bless it. If God can create and feed 5,000 from loaves and fishes, He can definitely take care if there's something funky in the food. Amen. Don't get caught up in that. You get caught up here in so much stuff, you pull away from what God's speaking. Okay, I'm glad you got that. Praise God. 1 John 3:18, this is where I wanted to get to. 1 John 3:18, this is going to help you and bless you tremendously. This is why God said, faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. This is one of the reasons He said that. I truly believe this in my heart, and you're going to see why. I'm going to read it out of the NLT first, and then I'll read it out of this Amplified here. Verse 18, dear children, let not merely say that we love each other. Let us show truth by our actions. So He's saying, don't just talk about love. You need to act in love. All right. This is important. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. When you walk in love, you'll walk in confidence because you're walking in God, because God is love. We're all still on the same page here. Praise God. Verse 20, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. When you walk in love, your conscience or your feelings may make you feel guilty, but when you're walking in God's love, you still have confidence in what you're doing. That's what that's saying. I'm going to give you the Amplified. Verse 21, dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. Verse 22, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. So when we walk in love, love is directly attached to your confidence level. Love is directly attached to the way your conscience filters things through. So when you're not just speaking love, but you're walking in love, there's a confidence and there's a purity of your conscience because you're doing God's work. When you walk in God, even if your feelings, you feel funny things, you feel guilty, you feel condemned one day, that's your feelings. That's not God, because you're walking in love towards God. This is going to help you and bless you. Let me read it out of the Amplified. Little children, believers, dear ones, let us not love merely in theory, with word or with tongue, giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth. God wants you doing something with what you believe. All right. In practice and in sincerity, because practical acts of love are more than words. Verse 19, by this we will know without any doubt that we are of the truth and will assure our heart and quiet our conscience before him. I like that translation. You have to assure your heart. That's what I wanted to get to today. And I'm going to touch on it. But doing practical acts of love, walking in love towards God and towards others, sets verse 19 up. By this, by what? By walking in love, we will know without a doubt. You won't question things when you're walking in love. Come on now. If someone talks to you about, oh, well, you're a holy roller or you're a Bible thumper, but you love God, those words don't affect you at all. Oh, you're one of those tongue talkers. Yes, you better believe I am. Amen. Praise God. I know. I'm walking in what God's word says. No matter what they say, I heard the voice of heaven. I read the book. Amen. Amen. Because the accusations, lies will come. But you got to be able to know, be assured in your heart. Fully persuaded. That word assure means to persuade, convince, agree, trust, and yield in. You have to know in your heart what God has for you and what he's spoken to you. And what will that do? It will quiet our conscience before him. Have you ever went in prayer to God and you know his word says this, but you're all jittery on the inside? You're kind of unsure of yourself? That's what's taking place. That's literally what's taking place. And many times, God's word says his promises to his children. But the children, you and I, sometimes have a hard time believing it's for us because our conscience is not allowing us to receive it. We don't think we're good enough. This is what I was talking about earlier. So many people deal with this. So many people in all denominations, all groups of churches. You understand what I'm saying? There's a sin conscience. Yeah, that's a real thing. You believe you're not good enough, that God didn't do enough, Jesus didn't shed enough blood, or something you're believing, that he didn't wash you clean enough, that you're still holding on to something. And that's pride at its very core, but you're believing what God did isn't good enough. And you're not saved enough, so you got to do something to be able to be saved enough. That's a lie of the enemy. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are washed white as snow. But for some reason, if we're not seeing what the word says, we feel like we got to do something different to allow the promise of God to operate in our lives. That's your conscience being plugged up from the truth of God's word. Amen. And if your conscience is seared or dead to it, your flesh falls in line with your conscience. And you can't hear the voice of God. That's what I want you to understand, is God is speaking to you and you are more than able to hear his voice. You're just believing something that God's speaking and you're doing this. That's what your heart's doing. Your conscience does this on certain matters. Some matters you hear them clearly. Man, I heard God. Man, this is what I need to be doing. But then you face persecution. Did I really hear God? That's your conscience questioning the truth of God's word. But what does faith do? Faith grabs a hold of it and doesn't let go. I'm going to do this thing till I see it come to pass. Through faith and patience, they inherited the promise. Amen. See, when the patience has to come, that's when the questions start coming, because you're not seeing it come to pass exactly the way you think it ought to come to pass. Nobody's dealt with that, though. Every prayer you prayed, you got perfectly that moment you said, period, it showed up. No, it doesn't work that way all the time. Many prophets spoke things and never saw them come to pass. Yeah. There's still prophecies that are coming to pass right now. The prophecy in all through Isaiah. Amen. Ezekiel, there's prophecies everywhere about the coming of the Lord. What it's going to be like. They never saw that. They had to trust God. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them then. We got something so great on the inside of us. If we just yield to it and say, yes, Lord, in every area, oh man, worry and fear, they're not a part of you. Amen. They won't even touch you. I have so much to share. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Let me just finish with this. I have a lot more, but I want to finish with this. This word love is a powerful thing. Love is a key factor to assuring your heart. Love is a key factor to assuring your heart. Love is surrounds everything. If love is not there or love is not yielded to, that's when things get messed up. Love is everything. God is love. So when God comes into your heart, the love of God comes into you. And with love, love never fails. You cannot fail. When you're in the love of God, you cannot fail. Some of you are looking at me like, but I failed. Don't worry about what you did. Right today, make a declaration, I shall not fail. Amen. No matter what it looks like, I'm not a failure. Amen. You are not in charge of doing everything. You got to give it to God. And then you'll realize that you're not a failure. See, that's works mentality. If you base the fruit of everything and you take it on. Some of you may be dealing with marriage issues. You're taking on every negative thing that's happened in the marriage. And some of you hopefully aren't putting it all on the other one, that they're all wrong and you got it all together. Because I guarantee you that's not right either. All right, just to make sure. There's two sides. Become one flesh. Amen. But what I want you to see is love never fails. Faith works by love, the Bible says. Let's go. We're going to end here. 1 John 4, I feel the anointing shifting. So let's go here to encourage you, to release you into the goodness that God has for you this day. Amen. 1 John 4, verse 17. I'm talking about love real quick, because if you don't realize the love of God, you're going to have a really, really hard time hearing God's voice. Very hard time hearing God's voice if you don't realize that you're loved by God. The enemy done whooped you already. He's got you in a chokehold if you think God doesn't love you. Holy Spirit, reveal this truth to your people. 1 John 4, 17. Oh my golly. 12. Man, you just open the Bible and it just loves on you. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. See, how you know God's love's perfected is when you can love other people and love your enemy. Yeah. If you can love someone that just smacks you in the face, man, the love of God's all over you. Amen. Jesus. Verse 13. And I feel God's presence so strong. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, excuse me. And we have seen, and I'm having a hard time reading. And it's not because I can't read. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Man, stop right there. If you've accepted Jesus, God's love abides in you and you abide in him. We struggle with that because your conscience is seared by something. Something on the inside is believing a lie. But when you accept Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in you, the Bible says. And it says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. You cannot mess up walking in love. I mean, you can mess it up, but you will not mess up if you're walking in love. Let me say it the right way. All right. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We can have boldness at our judgment because we walked in love. Man, what a purity by walking in love. What a faith, what a strength, what a peace when you walk in love. Maybe this should be a love message, but you got to see this here. Because as he is, so are we in the world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So what is that saying? There is no fear in love. If you are walking in love and your conscience and your heart is pure towards God and pure towards those around you, there's no room for fear. If love lives on the inside of you, fear can't live on the inside of you. If faith is on the inside of you, fear cannot operate in and through you. So if you are fearing, or if you're in fear about something, if you're anxious about something, I'm just giving you the Bible, plain and simple. You have not been made perfect in God's love. That's a wonderful shouting message. But that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit coming upon some of you to realize that there's a greater love that you're missing out on, and you're accepting a lie, and you're believing in fear, and it's gripping you. And I'm telling you, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. God's love will wash away fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. When God's love comes into your life, when you get saved, it's literally God's love comes in, gathers up all fear, as far as the east is from the west, gone. What brings fear back? We do, by believing something contrary to his word. If God cleaned house, don't bring junk back to the house. Amen. If you got clutter going on up here or in here, it's because you're allowing the clutter to build up. And I'm trying to make this so loving as possible, because I know some people are going to be like, man, he's being mean to me. He's talking about me. I know he's talking about me. Well, if I am, it's the Holy Spirit talking to you. There needs to be some adjustment, because God has something better. God has a breakthrough for you, but you can't break out when you're holding everything. You can't run your race weighted down. Give it to God. Give it all to God. Give him your life. Give him your treasure. Give him your family. Give him your bank account. Amen. Some people are held by their bank account. Some people are held by some past experience. Somebody did me wrong. My boss didn't pay me for overtime. He owes me. If you are stuck on being paid $100 10 years ago, God bless you. Gee, well, you missed out on millions because you're stuck on 100. Come on. God cannot. He's speaking to his church. He's speaking to his people. He's talking to you even right now. But if you're so worried about what cheeseburger you're going to eat for lunch, you're missing the voice of God. I'm not saying I got all the answers, but I know who does. I know who does. And I'm breaking the power of the enemy off of your life so you can hear clearly what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Close your eyes. Lift your hands right where you are. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your people here. Glory be to God. Let them hear the voice of God clearly in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that your love pours out right now upon your people. all sin and shortcomings be revealed and dealt with, released right now in Jesus' name. God is healing you. God is healing His people. Self-condemnation, go in Jesus' name. Self-guilt, pride, go in Jesus' name. Anything that is holding you back, any shortcoming, any thought pattern, any lie from someone else that you believed, contrary to the Word of God, I pray right now in Jesus' name, it's broken off of you. Holy Spirit, come and fill that void. Strengthen that area right now. I see it right now. It's like surgery. Holy Spirit, touch your people. Mend that broken heart. Mend that broken spirit. That hard heart. See, Paul was speaking to believers when he talked about their conscience being seared. Believers can have a hard heart. Believers can get a seared conscience. Father, not here though, not today, not on my watch, Lord. Father, I thank you that your love supersedes that hard area, that it softens by the Spirit of God right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, assure their heart right now through your love. Assure their heart. Father, I thank you that your love is beyond what we can think and feel. That your sacrifice was a final sacrifice to wash away every sin that we've ever committed, Lord. Past, present, and future. Father, I thank you. You're cleansing your people. You're delivering your people. No guilt, no shame. Father, you're doing a work on your people. They're your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Father, any bad works will come to nothing. And Lord, I thank you for an impartation of good works from this day forward. Hallelujah. A transition from the bad to the good. God, you prepared it beforehand. Before we were even made, you created good works for us. And Father, I thank you that you will reveal them in Jesus' name. And that we walk in them in Jesus' name. God has a place in Him where you can live and dwell and have your being. Come get up in the Father's lap. Come to Him, all you who are heavy laden. He'll give you rest. Take His yoke upon you. It's easy and it's light. You're the head and not the tail. Oh, you're above and not beneath. See yourself free. Oh, yes. See yourself running across the prairie, through the flowers, through the fresh air, the sun shining. You're not in a dark pit. You're not defeated. You're not in lack. You're free in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this house upon your people. Hallelujah. Where they're communing, they're hearing your voice, maybe for the first time. They know that you're a good God, and they feel your presence upon them. Hallelujah. God, you're preparing. You're equipping your people right now. You're giving a dose of your love to heal the hurt. A dose of your love to mend. Father, I thank you. I thank you that every condemning voice be brought to nothing in Jesus' name. Every lie of the enemy broken in Jesus' name. Broken in Jesus' name. Thank you for the victorious church. Victory is ours. We told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Father, I thank you for the victory found only in you. Only in you, in Jesus' name. Only in you, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, yes. King and a priest. King and a priest in Jesus' name. Ha! The lies of the enemy broken in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Never the same again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Walking on the streets of gold. Not sloshing in the mud and the grime of the enemy in this world. Father, I thank you for your rising. You are rising in his heart and in his life. The high road in Jesus' name. Marked from this day forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Marked in Jesus' name. Marked in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Never the same again in Jesus' name. A conscience pure, undefiled. Hallelujah. Sharp. Sharp. Clarity. Discernment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Every condemning voice is removed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I see it in the spirit. I see believers putting in earplugs to the lies of the enemy and cranking the amplifier to the voice of God. You're going to hear God's voice very clearly. It's going to be to the point in your spirit where it's almost loud, like an audible voice speaking to you. I need you to do this. Thank you for doing this. I am with you. I am for you. You're going to hear God's voice amplified, and the enemy's voices are dimmer and dimmer. The lies, dimmer and dimmer. Hallelujah. And God's voice is going to be so loud, so prominent in you. You won't even hear any other voice. You won't have to even try to make a decision or discern whether it's of the enemy or not, because you'll know God's voice so clear. You will not follow the voice of a stranger. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that visual. God is speaking on the inside of you. The enemy is trying to speak from under your feet. You'll hear his voice clearer in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. If anybody needs healing, I feel that in my spirit. Hallelujah. You can come up. Those listening online, I just want to pray a blessing over you. Are we still online? Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us. Father, in Jesus' name, from this day forward, they'll hear your voice clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. Any weak area, strengthen in Jesus' name by your spirit right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Any sickness or disease on their body, I declare it healed right now in Jesus' name. Put your hand on that place right now in Jesus' name. Receive God's healing. Don't believe a lie any longer. It's a generational curse. It's something gene and genetics in your family. God doesn't mess up. Your family is pure in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're standing in the gap for a family member, for healing, bless you right now in Jesus' name. The healing power of God is on you. Go see them, lay hands on them. speak healing over them right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless you online. We love you. Have a great week. For anyone here that needs healing in their body, I want to pray with you. I want to declare the word of the Lord upon you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any pain, any pain. You say, I don't have a physical pain, but man, I got an emotional thing that's just dragging me down. It's wearing me out. I'm telling you, the Lord will break that off of you. He'll break that off of you. If it hadn't broken already, it's going to break. It will. It cannot stand. It cannot stand. Hallelujah. Anybody here need healing in their body? Anybody here? Raise your hand right where you are. You need healing in your body. One, two. Hallelujah. Not hallelujah to being sick, but hallelujah. Healing is right there. Hallelujah. You are the healed of the Lord. Father, I thank you for those with their hands raised, Father. You touch them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Glory, receive it by faith, just like that. Boom, it's yours. It's yours. It's done. It's a finished work. You are the healed of the Lord. Done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, it was paid for. Receive it now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Well, I gave what the Lord had me to give. And I believe you received what the Lord had for you to receive. Amen. Amen. We'll see what the Lord has next week. But I know he's got something good for tonight. Her service tonight. You can come and get another dose of the things of God. Amen. Another word of the Lord to speak to your conscience, to speak to your spirit, to renew your mind to live in a place of victory. Amen. Raise your hand if you got something out of it. I don't want you to be no faith person, to be like, man, by faith, I'm going to get it one day. No, but it spoke to you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Don't be a yes person. Be a real person. Amen. Amen. I ask because I want you to be real, because that is I got something. You know you got it. When you know you got it, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You already know. You preordained your blessing. Hallelujah. You declared your blessing that you got it. Amen. Jesus' name. Be blessed. Have a great week. Have a great day. See you tonight.